half of Latinos in the U.S. live in counties that frequently violate air pollution standards. That's according to a 2011 report by the Natural Resources Defense Council. In 2009, Voces Verdes was launched by the Latino arm of the NRDC. It leverages the voices of Latino business and community leaders pushing for climate and energy legislation in Washington, D.C. to address health disparities and also spur economic growth. Adriana Quintero is the founder and executive director of Voces Verdes. I spoke with her recently by phone.
What we wanted to do was bring non-traditional voices, so business leaders, teachers, moms. The way that we talk about our leaders really is anybody who has a group of people who they work with and who they interact with on a day-to-day basis who are influencers in their own right. So it might be a salon owner who comes into contact with hundreds of people day-to-day and really talk to them about why they care about the environment. And what we found throughout the years were some really great, very genuine stories, you know, that didn't necessarily have to be tremendously scientific, but they resonated incredibly, really on both sides of the aisle.
What are some of the, you know, the unique kind of experiences that people have shared with you?
Well, what's amazing is how people come to this issue, because, you know, as environmentalists, we're always wondering, like, oh, you know, why aren't people talking about this more? However, what we found with Latinos was that it was very personal, and it was about not only a connection to nature, but it really hit home. It was, we've worked hard for what we have. I want to preserve my home. I want a better future for my children. Things that normally would seem very general to the whole population. The difference with Latinos was that there was a clear connection between having a healthy environment and achieving those things. You know, I work closely with a lot of researchers who continue to try and kind of figure out why is it that Latinos think differently on this issue. And what we found, I think, is that there's still a memory and a heritage there of my home country or my parents' home country or my grandparents' home country could have been much better managed, and we don't want that to happen here.
Your organization has come out very strongly against some of the actions of the Trump administration has already taken on the environment, including the appointment and confirmation of Scott Pruitt as administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. So from your perspective, why is he the wrong choice to head this agency?
For us, it's very simple. Anybody who has dedicated a large part of their career to defeating the work of an agency should not be leading that agency. His overt and clear actions while he was Attorney General for Oklahoma, where he took verbatim letters from oil and gas industry executives and sent them into EPA as his own. So he's clearly extremely closely tied to oil and gas interests, to fossil fuel interests, to the polluters. And we feel that that puts us all in danger, whether you're a fisherman who is counting on having a clean catch, or you are a mom who is worried about her children being sick due to increased air pollution. We all are at risk. This does not discriminate by who you voted for or not. In fact, it may discriminate against many who have in the past rejected environmental protections, because some of those places are going to be hit the hardest under the type of proposals that Scott Pruitt has, which is, let's send it back to the states. The only reason that a lot of these laws work is because the federal government manages them and supports states who may not have the money to implement all of these. I mean, let's face it, we all suffer if we get rid of fuel efficiency standards.
Scott Pruitt, during his confirmation hearings, did acknowledge that he thought that climate change was a real phenomenon, but was not sure how much human activity was the cause of it. What are some of the ways that climate change disproportionately impacts Latino communities?
Whenever I hear that, I feel that it's slightly irrelevant whether or not people believe it's happening. They can look to they can question the science. We can look at the Arctic and look at the change in the glaciers. For Latinos, they can look around and see, for example, a very large and very influential Latino community, which is in Florida. and look right outside and see the flooding whenever the tide rises. Cities like Miami Beach are having to invest a tremendous amount of money to adapt to rising sea levels. Additionally, if you look, let's say, to Latinos who work in agriculture or in landscaping, they're very directly impacted. The health impacts are tremendous, not only in air quality, but also in heat exposure. I think that what resonates a lot for Latinos, though, is that if you look outside the United States, and frankly, not just to Latin America, but really anywhere, climate change has not been as much a political issue as it has been in the United States. And so because we still have a large segment of the population that gets some of its news internationally due to language barriers, then you do have a situation where people are not as politicized on the climate issue.
Voces Verdes has also come out against recent Trump administration immigration practices and policies. What's the connection between, you know, these immigration policies and the environment for you?
So immigration policies and the environment, especially when it comes to climate change, are very closely tied. Obviously, if weather is unpredictable and you're losing your home, as so many islanders are losing their home, you're going to become a climate refugee or a climate immigrant. And that's something that I doubt will have much recognition under the current administration. But in addition to that, for us, it's really about people. And it's about recognizing that while we don't necessarily say we should have this be a free-for-all, we think that justice starts at home, so to speak. And if we can't have just immigration policies, then we're not likely to end up with just policies on environment or vice versa. And in all of the work that a government leader should do, it should be about the people, not about businesses, not about the soundbite, but truly about what's going to be best for our people. And if the argument can be made that their policies are better for people, well, then we're willing to listen. But what we've seen is simply policy that's designed to discriminate, just masked as something other than that.
Also, the proposed border wall that the president's administration has proposed on the southern border presents some environmental issues.
Absolutely. I was asked, what do we think of the border wall? Well, it's tough to say because all we know is it's going to be a big, beautiful wall. There are no details. There's no nothing. So it's really impossible to even comment. We can assume that if it's going to be a massive wall, it's going to have incredibly destructive impacts on many individuals' lands and farms and on our water and on wildlife. And wildlife doesn't recognize that this is the United States, but 10 steps over, it's Mexico. They simply live where they live. And we could be causing a tremendous amount of destruction. And without some basis that would justify that level of just destructiveness, it's hard to even contemplate how it would make any sense.
Adriana Quintero is the founder and executive director of Voces Verdes. Its mission is to amplify Latino voices on environmental issues. There's more at our website, alleghenyfront.org. This is The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.